April is here, and if your windows won't open for fresh air or seal tight to keep out pollen and bugs, then talk to Window Nation. Right now, for every two windows you buy, you'll get two free. There's no limit to how much you can save. Plus, save even more with no interest or payments for 24 months. With proven quality, you'll get affordable windows that meet or beat the national brands. Don't miss out. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com to schedule your free in-home estimate.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is the Go Birds Podcast.
Hello, it is the Go Birds Podcast presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Elliot Shore Parks, James Seltzer coming to you after. Elliot, what is honestly, in my memory, among the biggest shocking, felt like a loss literally until the fourth quarter type of games that I ever remember in my life, Elliot? Like, we are recording this about 2 hours after the game ended. Elliot had to do all his, you know, post-game stuff at the stadium and all that. But, Elliot, I'm not kidding, man. Like, sitting here 2 hours later, I still don't, like, totally feel like they won the game. Like, that's how shocking it was, buddy. How are you?
It was one of the more unbelievable wins I've ever covered. I mean, as soon as that game started, you could tell it was a loss. And then it was ugly throughout, right?
Such a loss.
Look, I have two things to say about myself first, obviously.
Yes, all right, yes.
So, okay, one.
I like the obviously there, right there, because you're like, yeah. Everyone knows I'm going to start with something about myself, and then we'll dive in.
Yeah, so to start, I'm not saying I should get credit for the win, but at halftime, all right, so as part of my job, when the game ends, I have to post an article, right? So at halftime, I had the article basically written. I'm like, the season's over. Sirianni's on the hot seat. All I had to do was put the final score in. Like, I had it completely written as a loss. And then, of course, they won. And I knew the second I, like, typed it out completely that I just, like, the way it always works is you never actually, like, I knew they were going to win. So I think I should get credit there. But also, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say real quick, you could also make that parallel to our text chain, you, me, and Jack.
Yes.
Fritz, where you asked at, like, before it was late in the third, I guess it was, you were like, what's the percentage chance the Eagles win the game? And I was like, 12%. I was like, nah, yep. 7. And then they turned it over on downs, and I was like, nah, 0. I should have said 0 from the beginning. Like, it was that game, you know?
And I think another lesson I learned today is, just to never doubt myself. Like, I tweeted, I put, okay, they're a bad team. I was wrong, right? And I wasn't wrong. I mean, look, like, that was ugly. That was ugly. But I don't think they're a bad team. I'm going to take that back. I think that today was an ugly win, but it was a win. And let's be honest, they saved their season. If they lose that game, the season is over, right? They're 1-4. They're probably not going to beat the Bucks on Thursday. They're 1-5. Things spiral out of control. And just like the way that game was too, it was so ugly. Like, they looked like a really bad team. The safety that they gave up, the penalties, another touchdown called back because of a penalty. Like, unbelievable. And not just another touchdown called back for a penalty. called back for the same penalty that they had when called back for last week, much like the Rager and Devontae Smith thing. Like, the receivers are supposed to be the best coach unit on the team because Sirianni used to be a receiver, and they're the worst. Like, they're the sloppiest unit on the team. So it just was so ugly, and they looked bad, but they came back and they won. And I think that some perspective here needs to be used on the defense. Obviously, the offense is going to be a whole different discussion, but the defense is definitely not as bad as we thought.
Yeah, look, the defense, props for today. Like, there's nothing else you can say. There is the biggest reason they won the game was the defense, and we'll dive into it all. But look, I don't know if they're not a bad team because they won that game. They still did a lot of things that bad teams do in this game.
For sure.
And you look at Carolina's schedule and who they've beaten. Like, Carolina might not be a great team and certainly not a great offense. But look, I think you have to give them credit because they fought. Like, they fought. That game should have been over like seven different times. And yeah, the defense made big plays. Hey, big play Slay. Actually living up to the nickname for the first time in Philly. We'll get to him more. But like, across the board, the defense kept making big plays, kept making stops. And one of those games where Carolina let the Eagles hang around. And when it was not up or shut up time, the Eagles made some plays. Jalen Hurts made some plays. Jalen Hurts was we'll get to it. I certainly think the coaching more to blame than Hurts early on, but Hurts was awful too, and that interception he threw was just an all-time horrendous throw. But
yep.
But when it mattered, like, dude nutted up and led a couple big drives and got a couple big touchdowns. So look, I definitely don't come away from that game saying the Eagles are good. But I do come away from that game saying, you know what, I thought this season had a real chance in the moment today watching this game of spiraling completely out of control. I was thinking Nicky one and done. And I was thinking, you know, this team could be 1-6 heading into Detroit. I was, you know, all those things. And I'm not saying that still isn't possible down the road. Like, they need to correct some things. They need the penalties to stop. Like, they are a poorly coached football team right now. But they fought and they won today, and I can't ignore that, you know? So it's they're a real Jekyll and Hyde team, Elliot. I mean, just think about the fact that, like, we, like you said, a great point. We came into this game saying, this defense is cooked. Jonathan Gannon, get that guy out of here. They're terrible. And today, other than the fourth quarter and just overall, the defense, like, 1,000 times better than the offense, and certainly the reason they won the game. So it really has been a hard team to get an identity on a field for through 5 weeks.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, obviously the defense the last 2 weeks, we talked about this on the pod and the radio show, like, the competition played a lot of I think, into why they were so bad. Now, didn't like the scheme. You know, I thought the players weren't performing well, but ultimately, like, they played the top two offenses in the NFL, and I think that's why you saw them struggle. Now, they've played five games, and in three of them, they've been really good, the defense, in five of those games. Now, they're playing bad competition, but they're doing what they're supposed to do. And the 49ers aren't bad, actually. But they're, you know, they're doing what they're supposed to do against the defenses that aren't top five in the league. So, definitely a positive for today is the defense. Obviously, Darius Slay steps up, has the two interceptions. Steven Nelson has the interception. And you mentioned, like, running Jonathan Gannon out of town after the last 2 weeks. Like, the first quarter, you know, it was like, what is Jonathan Gannon doing? Why is Ryan Kerrigan dropping back into coverage? Like, the same bad penalties. They were running it up and down the field. Like, guys were open. And they cleaned it up. I mean, if you look at the possession chart for the Panthers, like, the first drive, I guess, was a field goal, if I'm not mistaken. But the first two or three drives were decent, besides the interception they had in there. But then the last ones are like, punt, 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 downs, interception, punt. That, like, they cleaned it up. And, you know, last week we talked a lot about how Gannon and Sirianni said the adjustments they made on defense didn't work. The adjustments work today, and it's easier to do that when you're playing Sam Darnold, who's still really bad, but the adjustments worked, and they shut the Panthers down when it mattered.
I'm so with you. And look, credit to that defensive line. You know, Fletcher Cox, Javon Hargrave, Josh Sweat, those guys had a really good game. Like, throughout the game, they were against the Carolina offensive line that has played well so far, and obviously Darnold, you know, I'm with you. He stunk today, but, you know, they got pressure with four, like, consistently throughout the game. And obviously the secondary played great. The linebackers, you know, Davion Taylor made some plays. But
Alex Singleton is so bad.
Oh, man. He is just athletically a great guy. Overmatched.
Yeah.
I text you this. Yes. He reminds me of Chris Maragos when he had to play safety. Like someone who put him on special teams is like an awesome player, a leader, someone who's going to be like a real valuable member of your team. But when he's forced into action at his position, he is subpar, you know?
And yes, to say the least.
Certainly from an athletic perspective. But the defense should get a ton of credit. Slay was awesome today. Slay with those two picks, and granted, the first one, it was like, what are you doing, Darnold? I mean, that was just...
Well, really quick on the first one. So, really quick on the first one. Yeah, it was definitely a bad play by Darnold, but credit to Gannon in this one. Darius Slay talked about it after the game, how they disguised his man and then dropped his own, and that's what kind of tricked Darnold. So, credit to Gannon on that one. Again, bad play by Darnold, but you know, we're going to talk about the scheme when it's not good. I think Gannon deserves credit for that call.
Oh, 100%, and multiple calls throughout the game. Greg Olson actually did a good job of pointing that out. I know you were at the game, so you didn't hear the broadcast, but a couple points where he was talking about in one of the goal line stops, and again, how many big third down stops for this defense today, other than that kind of miscommunication touchdown, the early one, like... They really didn't, you know, not come through when it was, you know, gut punch time in a big third down stop the rest of the football game, and obviously added a bunch of turnovers on top of that, too. But Olsen pointed out, you know, one of those big third down stops, they were, you know, kind of going a very different look than they have defensively all season long in that type of situation. And it did seem like Gannon stepped up his game. And look, maybe Sirianni chewing into him helped. Maybe just the results of the last 2 weeks helped. And look, to your point, I'm sure there was at least some level of overreaction based on the fact they played two of the better offenses in football the last 2 weeks who were firing on all cylinders in those situations. But look, I think just you got to give a ton of credit. And one more thing real quick along those lines, not quite to the defense, but that we have not mentioned, and we're 10 minutes into the show, and we need to, because, yo, shout out to the special teams, man. Like, we don't talk about it a ton, but, like, Jake Elliott has been phenomenal this season. Like, knocks down the 58-yarder, hit all the kicks. Sipos looks phenomenal. But the block punt, like... maybe the most important play in this football game. Like, that might have
of the season,
up,
honestly.
Yeah, you're right, a season-saving type of play. And you could say that throw to Quez was a really big play, too, because that set up that first touchdown and kind of got him back in the game and all that. Like, there were some big moments in this game, but and obviously the Nelson pick at the end to kind of shut it down for real. Like, there were some big plays, but I think if you really look at it in terms of just a, you know, Sirianni always talks about game-changing plays, explosive plays, I think that pump block, probably the single most important play of the game, and to your point of the season, shout out to the special teams as well. You know, for a team that looked poorly coached, has all the penalties, that was an area of the game today where, you know, I think that the young guy, Michael Clay, had his guys ready to play.
Is the blocked punt the Jake Elliott 61-yard field goal from 2017?
I'm going to guess not, but...
You're going to guess not?
No. Okay. But also that Elliott field goal, the 58-yard at the end of the half, kind of a throwaway, but how important is that? You win by three, so... Yeah. You know, throughout, what'd you think of the decision?
What'd you think of the decision to kick the extra point on the first touchdown?
You mean the one where they got the penalty on it?
Correct. Yeah. So
yeah,
they went
I was
to
shocked.
Go for
I
it.
Would,
then they.
Yeah, I would almost always go for it if I get that extra yard. And also the fourth and two play was an interesting one. We both said we would have kicked it. They ended up with the field goal because, as you mentioned, you know, another touchdown taken forward by a pick play. And it was a penalty. It is what it is. It was. But I think that was a weird decision too. It ultimately ended in a field goal anyway. But I, you know, it worked. The play call worked if there weren't the pick play. So like, it's hard to rip. But I thought that was. I don't know if I would have done that either. But let's get into some specifics. Let's start with Sirianni, because I think he had about as awful a first half as he, you know, maybe not as he has had. Dallas was pretty bad, but he was really bad in the first half. The offense, as you talked about, stagnant, really first, like, almost three quarters of the game, and then obviously pulling some stuff out at the end. But ultimately, I would say on the whole, not a great game for Sirianni. I think what you give him is this team fought and this team played for him and this team didn't lay down when they could have.
Which I don't think. I mean, exactly. I agree with you. Yeah,
so,
like
so
I don't know. I don't know how much
Sirianni
I put into that.
After this game, like, what is your kind of your confidence meter, so to speak, to use a cliche?
Yeah,
like, where are you at with him?
I mean, look, like I said, halfway through the game, I'd written he's on the hot seat, and like me and you were texting, and I'm like, yeah, this guy just might be really bad. Like, for sure, that was definitely part of it. But here's what I would say about Sirianni. I'll have a positive and then a negative. Which one do you want first?
Let's go negative, and we'll end with the positive.
Okay, so the offense was brutally painful to watch. Like, no creativity. They just literally kept doing the same thing again and again. Like, they kept just throwing these little outs. I mean, Jalen Hurts had 10 completions for 34 yards to start the game. Like, that's hard to do, you know? Like, I think if I completed 10 passes, they'd probably be more for 34 yards. Like, that is, like, I just don't get, and look, in week one against Atlanta, they did a similar game plan, right? Where it was a lot of short things. They came out, they did it. They got Hurts in a rhythm. So I can't completely fault him for it. Like, while I was watching it, I was like, what's this guy doing? But the more I thought about it, I was like, okay, well, they came out week one and they tried that. But the issue is it wasn't working and there was no adjustment whatsoever. Like, the 3rd and 19 play, and I know he's just kind of like giving up, which is something within itself, but it's 3rd and 19. Like, throw the ball down the field. Maybe you get people, what they call them, like a punt or whatever, you know, where you just like throw it up. And then also maybe you get a flag, who knows? But instead they do a swing pass to Reagor, a bubble screen, and he gets tackled right away. Like, he just kept doing it. And what I was asking myself is, if you're Nick Sirianni and you meet with Jeffrey Lurie this week, like, what's your rationale for that game plan? Like, Lurie sits there and goes, all right, Nick, like, the offense was obviously atrocious. Like, what was your thought process and why didn't it work? And the only one I can think of is he doesn't trust Jalen to throw the ball a ton, but they threw it a lot against the Chiefs. So I don't even know if that makes sense. Like, I don't get why he kept with it and like what the answer would be on why the offense was so bad.
Yeah.
Unless he just has like no answer. It's like, you know, like that's all he can do.
No, I'm with you, man. Early on, I'm happy you highlighted that bubble screen to Reagor because that was like it felt like an exclamation point of the bad play calling in the first half. And really, you know, through the third quarter and obviously towards the end, some nice stuff and Hurts kind of really making some things happen at the end. And obviously really the defense, and we'll get to that. But I'm with you. I was unenthused with what I saw from Nick from a play calling perspective the entire game, you know, on average. So we're going to have to see more from him. We're going to have to, especially again, because the penalties too, you know, like that is still a serious, serious issue from a coaching perspective.
Yeah, and I mean, like, let's be honest here. Like, we can debate where we're at with Sirianni. Are we in on him? Are we out on him? Are we worried? Are we not? Like, there's no debate. They look like a horrendously coached team. Yeah. You know, like they do. Like, that doesn't mean he's a horrendous coach, but that's exactly what they look like. Like, they look like a team. And the perfect example is I'm so tired from this game. But the
Hurt safety play is one.
That looks really bad.
Yeah,
there was the Devontae play where he makes a catch.
The Devontae touchdown too. Yeah, that one too. And the Devontae fumble. So many mistakes.
Well, the fumble is such a perfect example to me because it's like they get a positive play and then they fumble it. Like, they just do everything bad teams do. You know, like they something goes positive and then they immediately negate it with something negative. Like they get inside of Panthers territory, they immediately have a penalty and now it's 1st and 15. Like, they always do those things. And again, like the sloppiness, like Alex Singleton, you know, I get that it's hard in the moment and it's easy for us to say, what are you doing diving into DJ Moore? Like, he's the one out there running. These things happen quickly. I don't think he's a dirty player. But that is also what a bad team looks like. Like, he just drills the dude after he gave himself up, you know? So there's just so many moments where, like, we can debate the scheme. I think sometimes, and I think we're right, like, the scheme looked really bad today. It was a boring game plan. But at the same time, like, play calling is also very player dependent. Like, they have to execute the plays. He could make a horrendous play call and we don't even know it because Jalen Hurts, you know, does something that makes it work. So in that regard, it's sometimes a little hard to judge him. But ultimately, what's not hard to judge is they look like an atrocious team. Like, for the majority of that game, they looked like an atrocious team. And that absolutely falls on Sirianni.
100%. And then also, like, and it's another little example, but it's little examples that all equal up to big ones. Like, how does Miles Sanders, and it's on Miles? Like,
oh, yes, this is unbelievable.
I mean, how does Miles twice? I mean, one time is enough. Like, twice? Twice? Like, everyone on the planet watching that game, like Zoe, my daughter at the age of 3 watching that, would know that he should have stayed in bounds there. And that's on Miles. Like, Miles is in the NFL long enough. He's, you know, played football enough that he should know that. But
yeah, and also, like, forget the NFL. Like, yeah, that's like high school,
level.
Middle school.
It's Pop
Warner.
But even still, like, again, it's just, even if that specific one is more on Miles than Nick, it's like all these things add up. And to your point, they look like a sloppy, poorly coached football team. That's the way they look when you watch them.
And I'm pretty sure it was the second time you ran out of bounds, and it's Miles Sanders' fault. But, like, that was a bad play call too. Like, why are you pitching it to Sanders as he
runs? I know. Why are you running it out? I'm so with you. Run it up the middle. I'm so with you. All right. What was the positive with Sirianni that you had?
So I actually think his play calling in the red zone is better than he's given credit for. Like, they are sloppy and they are getting touchdowns negated, but he calls in the red zone plays that consistently get guys either in the end zone or open, right? Like the Devontae Smith play, poorly executed, good play call. Last week, the Ertz touchdown, poorly executed, good play call. The throw, I think it was to Goddard, where Hurts throws it and
Goddard
drills it at him for some reason. Goddard, it was on Goddard, but it was not a good throw either. No. It was not a good throw.
That's one thing Hurts has to work on, those soft red zone throws. It seems like he gets a little too amped on those.
Yeah. I mean, and then the next play, obviously, he runs it in. Like, today, he does the quarterback sneak, which is so funny because he made this huge point in the Niners game about how, like, well, when you're at 1 yard out, it's different when you're half a yard out. And then, of course, he sneaks in, it works.
He did that last game, too, with a couple QB sneaks. It was like, and good. Like, when you're wrong.
He's learning,
Yeah. All right.
But so I do, but just kind of wrap that up, on it. Like, I do think his play calling in the red zone is maybe a little overly criticized, when like it's more sloppiness than it is the play calling. Like, they're not effective in there, but it's not because of the play calls. Like, guys are open. He's having a good read on what to call. It's just not being executed.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fair point, at least so far, and obviously we'll see how he progresses there. Gannon, quickly, we talked about the D, we've obviously said glowing things, but just to put a bow on Gannon before we move forward, how much of what you saw from the defense today was Gannon making adjustments, Gannon calling a different defense, and how much of it do you think was Sam Darnold and the Panthers offense is a lot worse than the Chiefs and the Cowboys offense? Like, what's that kind of scale for you?
You know, I obviously pride myself on not sitting on the fence, but I am kind of like 50-50 with this. Like, I do really think
good. I will pride myself on asking a question that you were 50-50 on. So, good job, Mick.
You've done it. I definitely think Sam Darnold is bad. But, like, they're going to play bad quarterbacks. Like, you're not going to play Patrick Mahomes and Dak Prescott every week. There's a reason those guys are top five in the league. Like, you know, Derek Carr, okay quarterback. Like, he's kind of cooled down a little bit. Like, they're going to play Jared Goff. They're going to play whoever Washington plays. Daniel Jones has been okay, but, you know, like, he's not a great quarterback either. So, you know, I think with Jonathan Gannon, what you're seeing is, and I think it's probably true of a lot of defenses, is when they play the Chiefs and the Cowboys, they're going to look really bad. And I think what was upsetting, as we talked about, was just the mindset that they used in that game, but the actual giving up 40 plus points to them is not a bad day at the office in that way. Like, you know, a lot of teams get torched by them. So I think, like, in the five games, in three of them, they've been the better unit of the two. And I think that's what you'll see from them throughout the season. I think that when they play the elite level quarterbacks, they're really going to struggle because they just are. But I think that the majority of weeks, you're going to see this defense hold teams to the low 20s, high teens.
Yeah, I'm not ready to kind of say, like you were, it's kind of, I'm not 100% sure, you know, what kind of defense they are. But I thought today was an encouraging performance, no matter who you're playing, to come off the last 2 weeks, back-to-back 40-point games, to have the heat on you that Gannon had, and both from Sirianni and, of course, just, you know, in general from the city and the fans and everything. You know, I like when people respond. I
for sure.
You know, so credit there. All right, Hurts. What do you think of Hurts? Obviously, I already said before, and I'll say it again, I think early on, the play calling and just, you know, offensive crispness was more of a problem than Hurts, but Hurts was bad too, and obviously had some really bad throws, but ultimately, like we talked about, when the chips were down, when they had a chance where they were able to hang around long enough, and he made some big plays. Like, how'd you come away from
today thinking
about
Hurts? There was a moment
in
the postgame presser where I'm looking at Jalen Hurts. He's up at the podium talking. And I was thinking, like, man, this guy is just good enough to keep things interesting. Like, that's literally maybe his best skill. Like, he is just good enough where every time I think I'm out, every time I watch the game and I'm like, how does he miss that throw? Like, the offense isn't moving with him. And you know, I had some friends text me being like, Elliot, be real. Like, if Carson was playing this game, you would blame Carson. And I know you can't compare them, you know, because the situations are different. But every time I'm like, yeah, you know what? I think I'm out on him. He goes and he did what he did today at the end. And so for my post-game article, I do a report card. And I had given Jalen Hurts, I had him at a D+, and I only did that because I thought Sirianni, you know, deserved some blame here. I changed it to an A-, and that sounds like extreme.
Wow.
But I think that ultimately, like, today is a net positive for him. There are concerning elements to it, for sure, like some of the poor throws, all those things. But for him to do what he did, to lead them on a game-winning touchdown drive, that play on the two-point conversion was unbelievable.
Was awesome.
Like,
awesome.
I don't know if it came across on TV how, like,
best play
how great
of the day,
it was.
To me, at least. Yeah.
Yeah, he bad snap, eludes a defender, rolls over to the side, finds Devontae Smith. Like, he was really good when they had to be. Now, the reason they're in that spot is because he was really bad for the start of the game. And he still misses, like, the fourth. He's lucky, actually, that he even got another chance, because that fourth down throw he missed to Zach Ertz was an unacceptable miss, right? Like, at mm-hmm. the end of the game, fourth down, the throw is there. Yep. Like, that's it. NFL quarterbacks make that throw 99 out of 100 times, if not even a higher clip, right? Like, that is a throw you have absolutely got to make, and he missed it. And that's the concerning part. And like the pass I talked about to Goddard in the end zone, where he drills it at him and Goddard needs to make the catch, but like he drills it at his helmet. Like, he makes it a way harder catch than it had to be. So lots of bad today from Hurts. And, you know, over a 3-year career, is he going to be a good enough consistent passer? I don't know yet. But I do know that today he led the team back in a comeback win in a game they had to have and was really good when he needed to be. And I think that matters when you're talking about the fact that ultimately this season, I still think they're going to make a playoff push, all those things, but ultimately this season's about figuring out Hurts. And I think today was a moment where you say, you know what, like, we can win with this guy.
Yeah, that stuff matters. And I'm with you. It's really one of those things where he really flashes, and then at other times, like you said, easy throws that he has to make, he just misses, and it really is so hard to peg him down. Like, what is he? How great can he be? How good? Because, you know, you can watch him, and we all have agreed, all right, he's an NFL quarterback, like, without question. I don't know what level of NFL quarterback, but he can play in the NFL without a doubt.
But there are times where it looks like he's not, though.
I agree, and that's what's so crazy. So yeah. It's he's very inconsistent in those weeks. But again, like today, you know, that's a check mark. That's a, you know, down whatever it was, 15-3 or whatever, with or 15-6 with, you know, in the fourth quarter and leading two touchdown drives, even with some help from the defense and making the throws you need to make and, you know, the plays you need to make at the end to win that game, you know, that matters. And to the point where he was great statistically in the Chiefs game, but his own words, he's like, we lost, you know, and this is one where maybe he wasn't as great. But they won the
definitely
game.
Now, not
to be,
as great.
Yeah. Now to be fair though, you know, you could argue, say, yeah, he came through and it mattered, but the only reason, you know, yep. they were in that situation was because, or part of the reason he was in that situation because he was so bad. So I'm with you. I think
the net Sirianni
I wouldn't
game
go A minus today. I would go net positive, but I agree. I blame Sirianni more than Hurts for the struggles. Is the overall point.
You know, it's hard for me not to compare him to Carson a lot just because Carson was the last quarterback that was here. We watched him develop, and I think a lot about Carson's rookie year when thinking about Jalen, you know, essentially rookie year. And, like, remember the game against the Ravens, Carson's rookie year, where he led them down the field? The offense was struggling. He led them down the field for the game-tying
touchdown. They
went
for two.
Yep, exactly. Yep. So, like, I thought that was an important moment for Carson. And, again, like, the torn ACL ruined Carson's career. But I think the things you saw from Carson's rookie year, like, those type of moments helped him be in 2017 the quarterback that he was, right? And I think if Carson never injures himself, his career turns out a lot differently. So I think, like, with Hurts, like, today was his Baltimore moment. Today was his moment where next week, like, next time they're losing, next time, you know, they're down and all those things. And let's be honest, with Sirianni and Hurts, there's going to be games where this looks super ugly for a lot of the game. The fact, I think, that now they'll have the confidence to know they've done it before, it really, really matters.
All right. Devontae was great today, minus the fumble, consistently continues to get open and make catches. Look, we're going to get more into this. Obviously, it's a short week. Thursday game against Tampa. 44-year-old on a short week on the road. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying,
Elliot. He's 44. He had a wrap on his hand. I'm just saying. But so what we're going to cover more of this, obviously, over the next few days. We'll have the preview pod, obviously, and a reaction pod after the game on Thursday and all that. So with that in mind, is there anything else you wanted to hit before we get out of here?
Look, I mean, the Kenny Gainwell thing I think is interesting. Look, the Iowa offensive
line. He's a good football player.
Well, that they just clearly like him better than Miles Sanders.
Well, they trust him, and they should. I think he's, you know, he's good. He's held on to the ball. He's made catches. He's, you know, hasn't missed assignments. I've been impressed with him.
The offensive line, we didn't talk about that. And it's tough, like, you know, live. You can't really get a read on, like, who gets beat always. But I thought overall they held up pretty well. There was clearly the sack Mailata allowed where Hurts gets drilled. Like, there was
early
that little sequence.
Early on it looked bad. Early on it looked bad. And obviously the Kelce snap, which we know happens a few times a year, or, you know, every other year, whatever it is. But I'm with you. Early on I thought they looked bad. And then I think for the most part rebounded.
So real quick, because I actually think sometimes it's easier on the TV copy to see it too, like when you're watching it. Like, how did you think Dillard played? Like, noticeable, not noticeable? I didn't see him getting beat.
It was hard. It was hard. Seemed fine. Like, really didn't
like they weren't
notice.
Bringing
there
it up
were a couple
the,
plays. Like, look, the one on the 2-point conversion was one where I think, if I'm not mistaken, he got beat around that edge and Hurts had to take it that way. But it could have been inside him. It could have been a miscommunication between him and Dickerson. But I'm not 100% sure. But on the whole, again, I agree with you. I think they weren't bad. And look, Carolina, for all the struggles we saw from Darnold and all that, their defense is legit. It's a good defense, and that does need to be taken into account at least a little bit with this discussion.
Yeah, you know? And, you know, to kind of put a bow on this whole pod, like, they've gone from being 1-4 to now, with the chance, if you beat Tampa Bay, you know, you're 3-3 after your first six games where everyone thought it was a super tough schedule. Like, they have a real chance again, you know, and we'll see. And, like, Tampa, obviously Tom Brady's better than Sam Darnold. So we'll see. But it's – I think they have a shot in that game. I don't know if I'm going to pick them yet, but I think they have a shot.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think they have a shot just because it's a Thursday night game at home and Brady's old.
It's a schedule
but, like,
loss.
I don't – I'm not going to pick them, I'll tell you now. Like, maybe against the spread, we'll see what the spread is. But I think they can keep it close. And I agree, they certainly could win it. I don't expect them to. But that's why this one was so important. Like, this was, to your point before, it really was a season-saving win. And I still, you know, I still think they're a 7-win team. I feel like, honestly, today is kind of the win that makes me feel, like, really good about them being, like, a 7-ish win team and not a really bad team. But you're right. Like, this was a game that you can't say that they're out of it because they won this game today. And that really is something, and people should embrace that and be excited about it. All right. Any final thoughts before we get out of here? I'm assuming no. Quickly. The streaker. Any updates? Was he naked?
He wasn't naked. But the funniest part about the streaker was...
Yeah, we don't get to see it, obviously, on TV. They won't show it. They won't, like, give it the you know, time of day. What was the
deal? Which is kind of weird. Like, I get, like, you don't want to encourage people to do it. But, like, at the same time, like, it's happening. I don't know. But so, he wasn't naked. He just ran out on the field and, like, sat down. And, like, no one came to him for, like, 15 seconds. Like, he was just kind of chilling there. Like, he had no plan whatsoever. He ran out on the field and was like, oh, my God. Like, someone come catch me. And just nobody caught him. So he just sat down. And that was it. But I saw Jimmy Kemsky tweet.
Wearing an Eagles hat, right?
Yeah, wearing an Eagles hat. I decided not to tweet that part. I don't know why. I feel like it was, but... Jimmy Kemsky had a good tweet that they outscored the Panthers 18-3 after the streaker. So
the streaker did it.
I don't want to encourage anybody to do it, but you know.
You don't see streakers at NFL games nearly as much as like a baseball game or whatever. So that is
agreed.
Way to go, streaker. You did it, buddy. He went out, he meditated in the middle of the field with his Eagles hat on and it saved the season.
The question is, James, now are they going streaking?
And with that, we'll talk to you guys again soon this week. That is, I think, the perfect way to end it. Yes. They saved the season. We'll see about streaking. He's Elliot James. Talk to you guys soon.